morning. Happy Memorial Day weekend. Well, you can go ahead and open your copy of God's Word with me to Luke chapter 5. During the plague, people got boils and sores all over their body, and as they got the plague, people quickly came to know one reality. You didn't want to be around anybody who had boils all over them. So you ostracized them, you stayed away from them, you quarantined them, because their sickness would soon be yours. You know, I think we got a little taste of that in the early days of COVID, didn't we? The person coughing, you stayed away from them, you may have given them dirty looks. Oh, they didn't cover their mouth, right? Well, today we're going to look at Christ and how he dealt with a person who was more ostracized than the individual with COVID, probably more like the person who had the plague. I want you to think for a moment what it would be like to be put outside of society, to be driven away from your family and friends, to not be allowed to be touched. This was the life of a leper. Remember where we are at here in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 12. Remember what we just came out of. Remember Simon Peter has just fallen down at the feet of Christ. And he's announced in verse 8, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter comes in contact with the power of God in the catch of fish that sinks, or almost sinks, two boats. And when he comes in contact with the power of God, he's undone and he recognizes his sinfulness. It's right on the heels of this where Christ calls Peter and the other apostles with him to be disciples, to be those who would catch men. But as we come to verse 12, Luke wants to show us a little bit more about the Savior of the world, the one who has authority. Remember, going all the way back to chapter 4, the Savior of the world has authority and power. Authority and power to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Authority and power over demons. Authority and power over sickness. Authority and power over nature. And today we're going to see that authority and power applied to cleansing the unclean. I've titled the sermon today, "Compassionate Cleansing, Christ the Healer of Our Spiritual Leprosy." We want to look today at Christ's compassionate cleansing, which should cause us to move from outcasts to friends, to children, to those who are inheritors of a wonderful inheritance in Christ. But this compassionate cleansing of Christ is viewed in two areas. The first, in the unclean state. The unclean state of this leper. So let's read. Well, why don't we? Verse 12. "While he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man covered with leprosy." First of all, notice how Luke sets this up and the other authors of the Gospels. He doesn't tell us where. We know the region he's in. He's around Capernaum and Bethsaida. He's in that area. But it doesn't say where. He was in one of the cities. Then notice it doesn't actually say who it is, it's just a man. Luke's wanting us to focus in on Christ and his action. It's a unknown place and an unknown leper. Here is the disease of leprosy comes into our perspective. Of all the diseases that the law talked about, and if you want a long and detailed account of this, you can look at Leviticus 13 and 14. You see, leprosy in the Hebrew can mean any contagious disease of the skin. And the ultimate example of that was leprosy, especially in the time of Christ. But there's no other disease that is more extensively covered than leprosy. Today we would call it Hansen's disease. It's a bacterial infection. And it starts out with you getting numbness in your fingers and in your toes. Then it slowly progresses to yellowish lesions develop deep in the skin or on the genitalia, face, forehead, or joints. Then the skin turns yellowish, just like the lesions. It goes deeper still into the muscles and into the bones. And as that happens, you start to have hair that turns white and woolish in nature. The skin gets damaged and damaged over again. It scabs over, and as these scabs release, there are weeping blisters. The nails on your fingers, they curl up and fall off. Your gums begin to bleed. One person who worked with many lepers described leprosy as like a person erasing themselves. They no longer have feelings, so they touch things too hard. They cut themselves and they don't know. They burn themselves, and slowly but surely, their fingers are erased. Their nose is erased. Their face, their feet. Finally, they begin to lose massive amounts of weight. They get chronic diarrhea and they die. Just a little patch of leprosy meant that you were ostracized. But Luke, the doctor, gives us a little more information. This person was full up. He was covered in leprosy. He's in the final stages. He's desperate. I want to give you what the law required for this man. If you wanted to look at this later, you could look at Leviticus 13 and 14. A person that had a probable case of leprosy had to go to a priest. And after a thorough inspection, he was told if he had leprosy. Leviticus 13, 45 said, "As for the leper who has the infestation, his clothes shall be torn, and the hair of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean, unclean.'" So the first thing you did when you were pronounced by a priest as unclean is you ripped your garments, you walked around in rags. You covered your face, left your hair uncovered. And everywhere you went, you pronounced the reality of your physical disease. Unclean, unclean. Verse 46 of Leviticus 13 says, "He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." Cast out. Cast out from your family, cast out from your friends, from society, and cast out from religious observances in the temple. No longer could you be involved in any of the rituals, any of the traditions that had meant so much. It would be the equivalent of having this sickness and then being declared, you cannot celebrate Easter. You cannot celebrate Christmas. I'm sure there are some kids in here that would not like that at all. Think about that for a moment. How one's life would change with just a spot where the hair went white. Whole life changed. Your job, gone. Your family, gone. Society, gone. Religion, gone. Traditions, gone. Everywhere you went, crying out, unclean, unclean, unclean. Well, that was the law. The rabbis took it a step farther. They made it illegal to greet a leper. You were not able to touch them or you would become unclean. But they took it to the step, say, you don't even greet them. So now are they not only outside the camp, but no one wants to talk to you. The rabbi said, if a leper came to your door and said something into your house, any part of them crossed the threshold of the door or a window, the whole house was unclean, all the way to the rafters. They said, you can't, if you are a leper, come within 5 feet of a person who is clean. And oh, by the way, if it's a windy day, you have to stay 150 feet if you're upwind. One rabbi said it was perfectly fine to throw stones at lepers, and in rabbinical teaching, to heal a leper was the equivalent of raising someone from the dead. You see, in Scripture, there are very few people who were full of leprosy that were actually healed. In fact, after you get out of the Pentateuch, you don't have an example of a Jewish person who's actually healed. You do have Miriam who is healed, the sister of Abraham. The sister of Moses, not Abraham. She was healed, but in reality, she didn't even go through the full-time period it would take for her to be declared by a priest unclean. If you want to look at that, you can look at Numbers chapter 12. Then you have Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. And that's in the same interaction where Naaman, that Syrian general who was healed of leprosy. Isn't it interesting that Christ, when he's cast out of his own town, who's the example he uses but Naaman? The last example that we see is in 2 Kings 15 and 2 Chronicles 26, and that's Uzziah, also known as Azariah, king of Judah. Because of these examples, each one of them being the judgment of God, leprosy became known as God's judgment on an individual. So imagine this, you're ostracized, nobody wants to get leprosy, nobody will talk to you, you're outside the camp. You have to run around saying, unclean, unclean, unclean. And all of society is looking at you and saying, what did they do? God's judging them. Maybe an equivalent for us would be AIDS in the early 80s and 90s. When people didn't know about the disease and they knew that it came from sharing needles. So it was drug dealers who got it. And it was known that it was running rampant in the homosexual community. So sinners got AIDS. God's judgment was upon them. This was what it was like to be a leper. It's no wonder that this man was desperate He's in the final stages of leprosy. It's no wonder he responded in this way. He knew his condition. He experienced it with every look, with every person who turned their head away. You know that feeling when people pity you or are disgusted by you? It was said that a leper stunk mainly because of all of his weeping sores. He stunk, he looked horrible, he lived in a horrible way. Imagine the shame, reinforced day by day. Behold, there was a man covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face. This isn't the first time we've seen this, is it? This is the exact same response that we have in Peter. When he becomes undone, when he comes face to face with who Christ is, he falls down, he prostrates himself before Jesus. He understands his humble position. His humble position brings him to the feet of Christ. But he also desperately pleads with Christ. Notice it says, and imploring him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Oh, his desperation. But notice his plea. He knows God has the power to heal. He calls him Lord. He recognizes at the very least that he comes from God, and this might be a reference to an understanding of Christ's deity. He, like Peter, calls Christ Lord. And then he says, if you are willing. He has a right view of Christ's authority. He doesn't come demanding. He comes pleading. Yet at the same time, he has a bold faith that Christ has the power to heal him. With his call, if you are willing, he's throwing himself on Christ's mercy. Yet with his next statement, you can make me clean, he is understanding that Christ has the power to heal him. Oh, this man's unclean state. It's no wonder that leprosy became synonymous with one's sinful condition. You see, if you were a leper, you were physically an outcast, but you were religiously an outcast as well. Brothers and sisters, I want you to ask yourself today how you are a spiritual leper. I want you to learn from the example of the leper in how you should relate to Christ. So let's look at our state, your unclean state. Proverbs 29 says, 20 verse 9 says, who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin? Notice the cleansing. Notice also the leper doesn't ask to be healed, he asks to be cleansed. Like Jeremiah 13, 23 says, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? Then you also can do good who are accustomed to doing evil. Our sin is as incurable as leprosy apart from God. It's as pervasive. It's interesting, Isaiah 1, 5, and 6, listen to this wording. It tracks with the same idea as someone who has leprosy. Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is nothing sound in it, only bruises, welts, and raw wounds, not pressed out or bandaged nor softened with oil. Notice that connection? That would be a leper. Look just like that. It's pervasive. It covers us, our leprous sin. Isaiah 64, 6. For all of us have become like one who is unclean. Just like that leper. Unclean, unclean we are. And then it says, all our righteous deeds are like filthy garments. That's what the leper wore. Notice it's our righteous deeds that make up these putrid, filthy garments. And all of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away. We're wandering around in filthy, filthy clothing, and we should have to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. We should be outside the camp. Ephesians 4:18 speaks of our condition, being darkened in their understandings, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. So, your spiritual leprosy, how are you like the leper? How am I like the leper? My sin and your sin is pervasive. My sin and your sin make us unclean. My sin and your sin make us repulsive. They bring shame. They separate us from God. And oh, by the way, it's incurable apart from the work of God. Yet unlike the leper, where his sores and boils were external, our dark heart's internal. Right? We still have the shame if we look upon our sins as God does. You know, that sin that if it was proclaimed to the world would cause them to turn away, would cause them to be repulsed, would cause them to be shocked. The leper experienced this shame on an external way. We experience it internally, but we are oh so good at hiding our sin and our shame. Nathaniel Hawthorne in The Scarlet Letter delved into this reality, where there's the woman caught in adultery that had to wear an A on her dress and walk around while the person that had committed adultery with her kept his name secure, yet his guilt and his shame were internal. Shame. It might drive us to the point where we think God can't forgive this because it is too evil. It's interesting when we look at certain sins that are they're outside, right? We look at the transvestite, we look at the homosexual living in a life of sin, the drunkard, the murderer, where their sins are known and we act with anger, we act with judgment, we act with shunning. Yet if we're all here and honest today, there are sins in our own hearts, there are sins in our own lives that if they were on display for the rest of the world, for the rest of this congregation, would our shame be any less? This is our leprous condition without Christ. Will God look at my sin in horror and disgust and turn away? Will he shun me? Will others do the same? I think this is the reason that oftentimes we want to hide our sin. The Bible makes it clear, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, which we formerly walked in according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. We might think, God won't accept me. I'm too unclean. He can't cleanse me. So how should we respond? We should respond like this leper. We should recognize our spiritual leprous state. Or to put it more specifically, you should recognize your spiritual leprous state. I should recognize my spiritual leprous state. As the leper was socially and physically poor, we are socially and physically poor. As the leper was hopeless, so are we spiritually. As he was unclean, so are we. As he was desperate, so should we be. As he understood the absolute necessity of his situation, so should we. In the same way, we should respond by humbling ourselves before Christ. Approach Christ in humility. You approach him with nothing to give. This leper approached Christ, coming close to one who was clean. As an unclean person, he had nothing to give. James 4, 8 through 10 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Fall down at the feet of Christ. Fall down and worship. Plead, implore, beg Christ for forgiveness. Plead with him for cleansing. If you will, Lord, you can forgive my sins. If you will, Lord, cleanse me of my sin. Think of David after his sin with Bathsheba. He doesn't offer bulls and goats. He pleads with God to cleanse him because that's the only way he will be made clean. We, like the leper, must also put our faith in his power to make us clean. Brothers and sisters, you have to put your faith in Christ's power to cleanse you. We've seen the leper's state. We've seen our state. How will Christ respond? Christ's compassionate response. Let's first look at it to the leper. Look at verse 13. And this is unbelievable. Verse 13, and he stretched out his hand and touched him. Oh, the compassionate heart of Christ, where he sees someone in a complete state of putrescence. Boils all over him, ripped clothes, dirty, smelly, prostrate before him, saying, if you're willing, you can heal me. You can cleanse me. Christ's compassion is shown in his touch. You ever walk by somebody who lives on the street? Did it quite often in Chicago. They normally smell like feces. Unbathed, unwashed, been sleeping in filth, eating not much better. Do you normally want to touch them or be touched by them? No. Now, understand that they're viewed as contagious and under the judgment of God, and that to touch them makes you unclean. And this isn't like a little touch. No, the word that's used here is that it's a firm grasping. This is more like a hand on the back. Christ doesn't have to touch to heal. Right? We already saw that with Peter's mother-in-law. He spoke to it and rebuked the fever, and it left her. It's interesting, even for Naaman, the prophet didn't even go out. He sent him to go bathe in a river. Christ doesn't have to touch him to heal him, but he shows his compassion. In fact, Mark actually elucidates this and brings it to light. Mark 1:41 says, "Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him." Oh, the beauty of Christ's loving compassion for leprous sinners like us. It's interesting here that Christ, in touching the leper, doesn't become defiled, but he makes clean. Notice Christ's authority declared in his words. "I am willing. Be cleansed." It's interesting. Job asked the question in Job 14:4, "Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. But God, very God, can, can't he?" Christ does. He makes the unclean clean. Christ's compassion overlooks the disgusting state of the sinner, the disgusting state of this sinner, who is also health-wise disgusting, physically disgusting. And he's so moved with mercy and so much care, he touches an individual who hasn't been touched probably in years. Imagine that. Your wife won't touch you. Your kids won't touch you. Nobody from society will touch you. You go around saying, "Unclean, unclean, unclean," living outside by yourself. Nobody comes within 5 feet of you. They look away. They shun you. Your shame is on display. And then you fall at the feet of Christ. And he doesn't just heal you. He touches you. Oh, Jesus' ministry to the disgusting, unclean, disfigured sinner mirrors how he treats us. Rabbis say it's more difficult to raise a dead man, but leprosy is right on par with it. It's interesting, Christ declares him clean, and then we notice what happens right after that, right? And immediately the leprosy left him. You imagine this? Covered. Most likely fingers worn off, maybe even nose and toes. A creative act. It's all made right, and it's all made right immediately. There's no recovery. This is the second time Luke has mentioned the reality of the immediacy of Christ's power when he heals. Peter's mother-in-law, right? Immediately she's up, she's serving dinner. We also see his compassion. We see his heart in the focus that he has. He's got a kingdom focus. He's got a purpose. Notice what he says in verse 14, "And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show himself to the priests and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, as a testimony to them." Notice the end of that verse, "as a testimony to them." This healing is not just for the benefit of the leper. Christ has bigger purposes. We saw this, didn't we? All the way back in chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. when Christ said he came to fulfill what Isaiah the prophet said. He had a purpose, and his purpose in healing this man was kingdom focused, just as he said that he had come to preach the kingdom. So he's cleansed this man, and now he commands him to go to Jerusalem to go see the priests. What does that look like? What's the process? I'll give you it quick. We don't have a lot of time. Well, the person would go to a priest, and that priest would inspect him, and he would then, if he was inspected clean, go and take a couple doves, or birds, actually, put one of them in a pot, kill it, take the blood, and sprinkle it on another one as well as on the leper, and then tie a cedar plank to it and let the one that's covered in blood fly away. That was step one. Then for the next 7 days, the leper will shave off all his body hairs so there is no chance of missing anything, and he will come before the priest daily to be inspected. And if he's still clean, then on the eighth day, according to Leviticus 14:14 through 17, he's going to make four different offerings. He's going to make a sin offering. He hasn't done this since he's been unclean. He's going to make a trespass offering. He's going to make a burnt offering. He's going to make a meal offering. And the blood of the sin offering and the trespass offering, they're going to take it and they're going to put it on his right earlobe, and they're going to put it on his right thumb and right big toe. And then at the end, they're going to take oil and they're going to put it on all three of those places as well. Think about this for a moment. What would a leper lose first? Oftentimes nose, ear, fingers and toes. You see, for a person to be declared a leper, they would have gone to a priest. The priest would have written it down. But to be declared holy, clean, ready to join society again, you had to go back through this process, and there's a record. There's proof. It's after that final ceremony that the person was designated clean. They could go back into society. They could be touched again. They could go to the temple. And at the end of verse 14, it says, as a testimony to them. This would be not just the priests, but the people. Verifiable proof of Christ's authority and power to heal and to cleanse the unclean. Christ wanted it on record. He wanted the priests to verify it. He didn't want him telling all the people. Now we learn from Mark and Matthew that though he tells him not to speak, this leper, on his travels at the very least, from where he's at in the region near Capernaum, on his travel to Jerusalem, goes about spreading the news that he's been healed. Mark tells us that this results in the reality that Christ cannot go into cities anymore, and he has to minister in the desolate places. He had come to preach the kingdom. One other thing to note, which we will start with next week, look at verse 17. One day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present with them to perform healing. Did they get the message? They did. They came flocking in. Here's somebody who cleansed an unclean person. Who is this man? Yet verse 16, what does it say, it says, but Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. He's become more and more popular, but that's not his purpose. His purpose is to preach the kingdom, to come and do the work that his Father has sent him to do. But here we have a statement by Luke of Jesus' normal process. Being hounded by lots of people, he slips away to pray. There's an example of Christ. It's an example of prayer. It's an example of reliance on his Father. But what are we told throughout Scripture Christ prayed for? John 17, he prays for all those who would come to know him. He prays for his disciples. We're told elsewhere in Scripture that he intercedes for the sinner. Those who are his, that he prays for us. John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His compassion, his power, his priorities, all seen in this little story. But let's look at Christ's compassionate response to you, the unclean sinner. His compassion is seen in the love he shows by coming and dying on a cross. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It's seen in the offer of salvation. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. It's seen in the heart of Christ that Peter relates in 2 Peter 3:9, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. It's seen in the forgiveness of sin, the removal of our former life. 1 Corinthians 6:9 through 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you. Me as well, right? Notice all those shameful things mentioned and out there. That's what our sins were like. But notice what happens. Such were some of you, verse 11, but you were washed. There's that cleansing. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Colossians 2, 13 and 14, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christ took our uncleanliness. He bore the wrath. He's the one on the cross who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He took our uncleanness and showed us compassion. Our shame placed on him so that we might be honored. Our sin paid for so that we might receive an inheritance that we did not deserve. And as Paul said in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. This is the beauty of who Christ is, shown in his actions. The dark, shameful picture of our sin and our state shows off the beauty of the love of Christ for us. Like the leper, we should know our hopelessness and unclean state. We should humble ourselves and fall at Christ's feet. We should cry out for his cleansing, confessing our defilement, saying, "I am unclean, I am unclean." We should put our faith in him and him alone to save. He will cleanse. He is willing. He will bring you into fellowship with him. He will adopt you and make you his child. And oh, by the way, he will give you the inheritance that Christ deserves and you could never earn. John says, we love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know that there are many out there who may be thinking that their sin is too great, their shame too immense that you would ever cleanse them of their sin, remove that stain which is indelibly marked on every human being since Adam. Lord, oh, the beauty that you offer to cause us to be born again to a living hope. We thank you, Lord, for your compassionate love that sees our state just as you saw this leper's state, that understands our need and our hopelessness, our helplessness, Lord. You see our sin and our defilement more than we comprehend. You see it more clearly. It offends you as it should us. Yet in the midst of that, you love so immensely that you call out to us and call us to be reconciled to you. For this, Lord, we say thank you. For this, we want to praise and honor your name. We want to worship you. For you made the filthy clean. The untouchable you touched. Oh, Lord, if there are any here today that need salvation, that need cleansing, I pray that they would come to you as this leper, knowing their sinfulness, falling down at your feet, imploring you, begging you to clean them, to cleanse them from their sin, putting their faith in you who has the power to save. Lord, for all those who have been saved, who have been cleansed, Lord, may we respond in worship and praise. May we behold your majesty and your beauty. May we be in awe of the reality that you chose to love such despicable, disgusting, shameful sinners like us. In Jesus' name, amen.